ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वासुदेवेन्द्रयोगीन्द्रम् नत्वा ज्ञानप्रदम् गुरुम् मुमुक्षूणाम् हितार्थाय तत्त्वबोधोऽभिधीयते। So we also pay our salutations to Bhagavan in the form of the teacher who comes in the lineage of Indra Saraswati order, name of Vasudevendra Saraswati, who happened to be the teacher of the author of this book, Tattva Bodha. And today I want to begin my class with the meaning of the word Tattvam. Tattvam literally means the truth, the reality, the essential nature, the Swarupam. Why the truth, the reality, or the reality is indicated or meant by the word Tattvam? Why the word Tattvam? We have so many words, Satyam, so many words are there. Like Tattvam also implies the reality, doesn't indicate directly the reality. I told you many times, there's no word, not even one word, can directly indicate the reality. It has been derived like this. Tasya bhavaha tattvam. Tasya bhavaha tattvam. Truth is the very existence of that. Tasya bhavaha. We all know the word tad. Dakaranta shabdaha. Tad means that. And if you decline that, you get the possessive, in possessive case, you get tasya. Tasya. So any object here, every object and any object can be anything other than yourself, can be indicated by the word tad. You can say, that is a car, that is a table, that is a house, that's a man, that's a woman. Like that you can point out and show anything and everything, any object can be indicated by that word tad. And bhavaha means existence. Bhavaha means existence. Bhavaha, existence. So existence of that is tattvam. If I show existence of the wave is water, existence of the ornament is gold, existence of furniture is wood. Similarly, existence of anything is tad, indicated by the word tad. Existence of everything. Therefore, tasya bhavaha tattvam. Therefore, tattvam, the truth is that the existence of everything. Not only one thing. Existence of everything is tattvam. This simply I wanted to tell you. Now we know tattva bodhaha, bodhaha, knowledge of the truth. And now we have come up to, in this book, we come up to this point. Because the previously, first we saw the fourfold qualification. And there, the first qualification we understood was Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha. What is that a person should have, first of all, to be qualified for the pursuit of knowledge or to attain knowledge? First of all, one must have the discriminative understanding of what is permanent and what is impermanent. Without that understanding, he will not be interested in pursuing the permanent. So for a person to be interested in knowing the permanent, he must know what it is. Once you have Viveka, then naturally he becomes disinterested in the time bound and he becomes interested in knowing what is permanent. That dispassion towards the impermanent, knowing its limitation, is the vairagyam. The third qualification we saw was all sixfold disciplines, shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. The fourth one we saw was mumukshutvam. After the first definition, and what is tu vivekaha, the question was asked. The discriminative knowledge of the truth is that knowing that Atma alone is real and anything other than Atma is not real or mithya. Atma satyam tad vyatiriktam anyat sarvam mithya iti jnanam. If Atma alone is real, what is that Atma? And it is for your information, Atma, there are many meanings are given, and one meaning is derived like this, Apnoti Sarvam Iti Atma. So that which pervades everything is Atma. So that which pervades everything is Atma, that Atma must be obtaining as the essential nature, innermost essence of every being. So what is that Atma now? So here, the method of distinguishing the Atma from Anatma is given here. So Atma kaha sthula sukshma karana shariraad vyatiriktaha panchakosha atitaha san Avastatraya Sakshi Sachidananda Sarupaha San Yastishthati Saatma. Saatma, actually Saha Atma. In Sandhi Visarga got dropped. Saha Atma. Saha Atma, that is Atma. So here this definition shows what Atma is not first. Very important point to note. Because Upanishad, the source book, also begins the teaching like this. Because nowhere Atma, what is Atma, is directly said. Always to arrive at the Atma, to stumble upon the Atma, what Atma is not is said first. By showing what Atma is not and what Atma is arrived at. So first, why we need to understand what Atma is not first? Because Atma and Anatma, even though I use the term Anatma, Atma and Anatma are inseparable. The Satya Atma And mithya, anatma are inseparable. And last class, I explained also what is satyam and what is mithya. So here, so sthula, gross. What is gross? Perceptible. Anything perceptible through sense organs is sthula, gross. Sthula, sukshma, subtle. What is sukshma? Sukshma, anything imperceptible through sense organs is sukshma. Sukshma, sthula is also object, sukshma is also object of knowledge, object of knowledge, object of perception. Here, imperceptible is sthula, imperceptible is sukshma, perceptible is sthula. Sthula, sukshma, then karana, causal, sharirad, vyatiriktaha. So, vyatirikta, no, is participle means distinct, different. Distinct or different. Distinct from, not distant, but distinct. From gross physical body. Sthula sharirad vyatiriktaha. Sukshma sharirad vyatiriktaha. Karna sharirad vyatiriktaha. So Atma is distinct from the gross body, subtle body and causal body, which means there are three bodies. Body means we need not take everything as something body. Gross body is the body and whatever obtains within this gross body also is given the name body. Really speaking, not there's no form for other two. Only one body, actually gross body. And apart from gross body, whatever is inside also is given the name body, subtle body, causal body, etc. Okay. Now, sthula sukshma karna shariraad vitiriktaha, distinct from these three bodies. And the three bodies alone are again divided into five layers of personality. Pancha kosha atitaha. Why I'm not explaining much now? Author himself is going to ask the question, sthula shariram kim? We are going to see that later on. Now, pancha kosha atitaha. Now, five layers of personality. And each layer of personality is like a koshaha. Koshaha means a sheet, a cover. Actually, the cover really covers. That which covers is cover. But these, each layer of personality cannot cover the Atma, but seemingly covers the Atma. Therefore, each layer of personality is like thick cover, not really the cover, like thick cover. Koshavat achadayati iti koshaha. We'll be seeing that also there. And what are those five layers of personality? So, annamayaha koshaha, pranamayaha koshaha, manomayaha koshaha, vijnanamayaha koshaha, anandamayaha koshaha. Annamayaha, pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha, anandamayaha. So gross body is annamayaha koshaha. Anandamayaha koshaha is, causal body is anandamayaha koshaha. And in between, we have pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya. These three koshas, subtle body, sukshma shariram, is divided into three layers of personality as pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya. So atita again means distinct. Distinct from. Atita literally means beyond, but we take it as distinct from. Distinct from the five layers of personality. Then, here, the sthula shariram is his gross physical body and which has a form which is perceptible and this which can be indicated by this pronoun this. Idam shariram. Idam shariram. This is a body. Therefore, because his gross physical body, perceptible, heavy, and it can be indicated by the pronoun this. Therefore, it is an object of knowledge. And any part of the body can be indicated by the pronoun this. This is a head. These are eyes. This is a nose. These are lips. These are cheeks. This is a chin. This is a neck. This is the back. This is the front. These are thighs. These are shanks. These are feet. The whole, every part of the gross physical body also can be indicated by the pronoun this. The whole body, the body as a whole can be indicated by the pronoun this. This is my body. That is your body. So body, the physical body is indicated by the pronoun this. And if it is my body or that by another, that another body, it can be indicated by the pronoun that. So anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I is anatma, non-self. Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than I, the first person singular pronoun I is anatma, means non-self. And his physical body, gross physical body is anatma, non-self, which means not I. The physical body, we say, is not the atma. It is anatma because it is indicated by the pronoun idam, etad, or others, no? We say idam. Aryetad. Similarly, sukshma sharira, subtle body. Subtle body means, I told you already, there's no body called subtle body. All the subtle factors, subtle aspects which obtain within the gross body, together are given the name subtle body. Don't go and search for another body inside. There's no body. There are subtle factors. Exist, which exist within this body. And each and every subtle factor also is what? Again, even though imperceptible, but still available for objectification. Available for knowledge. How? First we say, pancha jnana indriyani. We'll be seeing later on. I'm just briefly, I want to give you. Pancha jnana indriyani, five sense powers, powers of organs of knowledge, jnana indriyani, which serve as instruments of knowledge. Your seeing power within your eye. See, we have eyeball, eyelid, and the white part, this eye. The eye is actually a physical part which is called golakam. Golakam. Golakam is a physical part where the imperceptible subtle power obtains. The subtle imperceptible power is called indriyam. The physical part, perceptible physical part is called golakam. So golakam belongs to the gross body. And the imperceptible subtle power is indriyam. The seeing power obtaining in your eyes is indriyam. Jnana indriyam, the power of seeing. Similarly, you have ear lobes and ear drum, which is also golakam, and there the subtle power in your ear, the power of hearing is indriyam. Indriyam means shaktihi, power, subtle. So we have power of smelling in your nose, the power of taste in your tongue, and power of touch in your skin. All over the body, skin is the power of sense, the power of touch. A sense power touch is. These subtle five powers serve as instruments of knowledge. Therefore, they are called Jnana Indriyani. We know there is a power. You know you can see. You know you can hear. You know you can smell. You know you can taste. You know you feel the heat and cold. Which means you can understand the power of knowledge being there, but you do not see the power through physical eyes. You know whether you can see or you cannot see. You know whether you can smell or you cannot smell. When you have common cold, you can make out that you cannot smell anything, which means that there is, you have the capacity to smell. The power of smelling is indriyam. Like this, we have five subtle powers, and the nose is a golakam, and the power of smelling is indriyam. Tongue is a golakam, the power of taste. Tongue is perceptible golakam, and the power of taste is indriyam. You have to differentiate golakam and indriyam. Golakam belongs to the physical part where subtle power obtains. So nose, golakam, there we have power of smelling. Eyes, golakam, there power of seeing. Ears, golakam, there we have power of hearing. So whole skin is golakam, where we have power of touch. Like this, we have five sense powers. Jnana Indriyani. And they're all subtle, very subtle. You can't explain how, describe how your seeing power is. You can only say that is, you can say, you can only say that you have the power. Because you know, you can see. You can say, you can see. Therefore, subtle power is indriyam. So you have five powers of organs of knowledge or sense organs. Jnana Indriyani Pancha. Similarly, we have five subtle powers of organs of actions. Karma Indriyani Pancha. Five. And the subtle power, because of the presence of which a given action, activity is possible. What enables the given action is Karma Indriyam. So first I can say the power in your hands, because of which you can use your hands in any activity. For doing any action, if you have to use your hands, there must be power. The power because of which you can use your hands in your activity, physical activity. There's a power in your legs because of which the very mobility is possible. And There's a power in your organ of speech because of which speaking is possible. So speaking is a physical activity. Anything you do with your hands is a physical activity. Your mobility, your movement and walking, running, etc., physical activity. Then, that include tumor here. The act of evacuation, excretion, you know, is power of activity. And the act of reproduction is also physical activity. So, there is subtle power for all these five activities. Therefore, these five powers are imperceptible. You cannot see these powers. But because of the presence of these powers alone, these activities are possible. They are all physical activities. Therefore, they are called karma indriyani. The powers because of which activities are possible are known as karma indriyani, the powers of organs of actions. So 10 we have got now. There are also subtle. Then 5 physiological functions. So physical activities happen outside, which are also dependent on subtle internal powers. Without those subtle powers, physical activities are not possible. All the 5 actions are not possible. That is why when you're fast asleep, when your powers are resolved, your powers are existent, but they are resolved and no physical activity happens. No physical activity is possible when the powers are resolved. Even temporarily resolved, activities are not possible. And the powers leave, body is dead. Anyway, that we'll see later on. So, pancha karma indriyani. Then, pancha pranaha. The word pranaha literally means life. And we have 5 pranaha, means 5 functions which constantly, continuously happening, consistently, always happening. These functions should never stop at all. And those functions are physiological functions which happen inside the physical body, which are not perceptible, but still the functions can be understood. The functions being manifest, functions happening can be understood. And those functions, you see, are given. Each function, all these functions are possible because of by one vital air. It is the presence of one vital air makes all functions happen. Therefore, that one vital air alone is given 5 different names, functional names as pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. So pranaha, the function of respiration is governed by this prana, both inhalation and exhalation. Then apanaha takes care of the function of excretion. Vyanaha governs the function of circulation. Samanaha governs the function of digestion. Digestive system, it takes care. Then udanaha is the job of function of retention. It governs the retentive system. So five physiological functions. So five pranas, we don't need to take it as five different pranas. No. Only one prana involved in five different functions is given five different names. As pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. These also form part of the subtle body. Now we have understood 15 subtle aspects. Pancha jnana indriyani, sense powers. Pancha karma indriyani, powers of organs of actions. Pancha pranaha, five physiological functions. Now antahkaranam. Antahkaranam is an internal instrument of knowledge. It is called antahkaranam. Sense organs are external instruments of knowledge. So bahyakaranani. Jnanendriyani bahyakaranani. Bahya means from the standpoint of mind, these sense powers are external. Don't think outside. They're also within the body only. But still we call them bahyakaranani because they're from the standpoint of mind, they are external. And mind is internal instrument of knowledge. Therefore, it is said to be antahkaranam. Now, this antahkaranam, we understand later on. So, all these 16 aspects together constitute mind. Five sense powers, five powers of actions, and five physiological functions. 16 aspects constitute the sukshma shariram. And you know very well, each and every power is known to you. Your seeing power is being there is known to you. Your hearing power is known to you. Because you know you can hear. You know you can smell. You know you smell. All these sense powers are known to you. Even though you do not see them through physical eyes, they are known to you. So also, your powers of organs of actions are known to you. Because you know you can speak. You know you can lift. You know you can walk. The power, you do not see the power through physical eyes, but you can understand the power being manifest. Power being manifest is known to you. Power being there is known to you. Therefore, it's an object of knowledge. All the powers are objects of knowledge because it is known to you. Sometimes we have this wrong understanding. Unless I see through my physical eyes, for me it doesn't exist. But here we have to become subtle enough to appreciate the existence of subtle factors which are there. So like these powers, I do not see through physical eyes, but I can understand they are there. Similarly, all powers of organs of actions, I'm able to walk, I'm able to sit, I'm able to get up, I'm able to move, I'm able to do things, able to hold, which means these powers are present, able to speak. All these powers are also objects of knowledge. Similarly, we also have physiological functions. We don't see them through physical eyes, but the functions are happening. Because you're comfortable, you don't feel suffocated because the functions are happening. So they are known to you. Physiological functions are known to you. We are going to see elaborately later on. Known to you. And even antahkaranam is known to you. Your mind is known to you. How do you say mind is known to you? Now literally, let us take only a small, which understand mind very briefly here now, because we are going to understand mind elaborately later on. Simple factor. Are you here? Are you all here in the class? You will say yes. Suppose specifically ask one person, are you here? That person is staring at me, looking at me, but he didn't even hear my question. We ask, come on, I'm asking you, are you here? Again, no answer from her or him. I'm asking you, are you here? And then I go near the person and I call the person, are you here? Yeah, sorry, what did you ask? No, you are physically sitting in my class. I'm asking you, are you here? The person says, yes, I'm sorry. I didn't register what you're asking. I said, why? Because briefly, no, I was in the class. I was listening to you. Suddenly, my mind went off somewhere. My mind went off somewhere. I was thinking of something else. I missed that particular question you asked me. I was absent briefly, mentally. The person answers. I asked the question, how do you know your mind was not here? How do you know the mind was elsewhere? So, the person could answer, yes, my mind was not here for some time. My mind went off somewhere. Which means where the mind goes is known. Where the mind is known to you. Where the mind is not is also known to you. My mind was not here. My mind was elsewhere. Therefore, I could not listen and register what you asked me. For mind is known. Mind also is object of knowledge. Okay, mind is also object of knowledge. Therefore, object of knowledge means what? And who is the object of knowledge means known. Physical body is known. Sthula Shariram is the known because it is an object of knowledge indicated by the pronoun this. Now, we have to say these sense organs. Even these sense organs are also objects of knowledge. These organs of actions are also objects of knowledge. These physiological functions are also objects of knowledge. And this antahkaranam is also object of knowledge. Because anything known is object of knowledge, which means how can there be the known without the knower? The known, there is a knower. And who is this knower? We say, I am the knower. I am the knower. I know and this is known. I am the knower. These are all known. Therefore, the knower am distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, here, this Atma and I, the knower, am Atma. So, anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than first person singular pronoun, I is Anatma, the non-self. Over here, this sthula shariram is anatma. Sukshma shariram, the 16 factors which constitute the sukshma shariram also is anatma. Now, karna shariram is also anatma. Karna shariram is nothing but avidya, ignorance. It's also anatma. We are going to see elaborately later on. Anatma. Therefore, what is Atma now? We still do not know what Atma is. One thing we are very clear, Atma is distinct from, Atma is not far distant from Anatma. Atma can never be far from Anatma, very important. Atma can never be far from Anatma. Okay? Atma is, Atma and Atma are inseparable. At the same time, Atma is distinct from Anatma. Therefore, we say Atma is that which is distinct from. Atma is the knower here, distinct from this gross body, known physical body, known subtle body, and known even causal body. Now we say, distinct from this thula sukshma karna sharira vyatiriktaha, panchakosha atitaha, distinct from five layers of personality, again, nothing but the same three bodies are said to be five layers of personality. We are going to see elaborately what each kosha is later on. Therefore, what it says is, Atma is not these known, gross, subtle, causal bodies obtaining in the form of five layers of personality. If Atma is not this, then we come to the mind. I said, Antakaranam forms part of the subtle body. Now we take Antakaranam separately, the mind separately. How do we understand mind? No, we understand mind in terms of three states of experience. Each state of experience is each state of mind. I never drink water. I don't know why. I'm thirsty today. Each state of experience is each state of mind. Now we have waking state, Jagrat Avastha. Jagrat Avastha. Jastvashandhi. Remember that. Jagrat Avastha. Jagradavastha, waking state. Then Swapna Avastha, dream state. Then Sushupti Avastha. Sushupti, deep sleep state. Sushupti Avastha. And in each state of experience, is state of mind. That's how mind is. Mind either in waking state or in dream state or in deep sleep state. There's no fourth state of experience. There are only three states of experience. And mind, we have to understand mind in these three states of in terms of three states of experience. Now, each state of experience presupposes the experiencer knower. And the experience comes and goes. Waking state experience comes and goes. Dream comes and goes. Even deep sleep state experience comes and goes. You wake up from sleep, deep sleep. That goes. You fall asleep, waking state goes. And after falling asleep, you dream, and there's your different state of experience. Which means all these three states of experience are discontinuous and mutually exclusive. But in all these three different mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of experience, what is permanently, continuously there, witnessing these changes, is the experiencer. The experiencer is one and the same experiencer, continuously present in all the discontinuous, mutually exclusive states of experience. Therefore, the experiencer is Atma. The experiencer is distinct from the states of experience. Therefore, witnesses the experience. Avastha traya sakshi. Avastha is jagrat avastha, swapna avastha, sushupti avastha. Jagrat, swapna, sushupti avasthaha. Tisraha avasthaha. Tisraha avasthaha. When you say a set of three states of experience, we say avastha trayam. A set of three is called trayam. A group of three, bunch of three, set of three is called trayam. So tisraha avasthaha. Tisrushu tisraha avasthaha. So avastha traya sakshi means Atma is distinct from this, all these subtle, gross and causal bodies, but it is distinct from, is a wit, it obtains, Atma obtains as the witness of the three states of experience. Avastha traya sakshi. Of course, I'll be doing Drik Drishya Viveka anyway, that Prakriya I'll be using later on. It become much clearer. Now I understand this much. The textbook. So avasthatraya sakshi. Sun. Then if Atma is the witness, the experiencer of the three states of experience, then what is this Atma? Who is this experiencer? The non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, all permanently remaining, the knower, experiencer of the three changing states of experience. Who is this experiencer? Experiencer is the Atma. And who is this experiencer? Who is this knower? This knower, observer, experiencer is Satchitananda Swarupaha Sun. Now, these words state what Atma is. Avasthatraya Sakshi onwards, first we understood what Atma is not. Sthula Sukshma Karana Sharirad Vyatiriktaha states what Atma is not. Panchakosha Atitaha states what Atma is not. Then Avasthatraya Sakshi states what Atma is. Atma is the witness, witnessing the three changing states of experience. Permanent witness, witnessing the impermanent changing states of experience. And what is that witness? Who is the witness? The experiencer is distinct from the states of experience. And who is that witness? What is that witness? What is, who is that experiencer? You say, Atma, what is Atma? Now it is said, what Atma is said here. And each and every word reveals Atma in terms of its nature. Satchidananda Swarupaha. Sat Chit Ananda Swarupaha. The experiencer is, the witness is the Atma, which is of the nature of existence, consciousness, and limitlessness. Now we have to understand the experiencer only in terms of a given nature, only in terms of the Swarupa. We cannot go and search for experiencer. How experiencer is? In what form does experiencer obtain as the witness? As experience. What form does the experiencer obtain? Experiencer, we arrive at the experiencer only in terms of its is nature. Sat chit ananda swarupaha. So we need to understand how what sat is, how chit is, how what anandaha is. That we'll see later on. So satchidananda swarupaha san yah tishtati sa atma. That is atma. Now here we have to use already the method used here is drik drishya viveka prakriya. What is the methodology used? Drik drishya viveka prakriya. Drik means seer literally, and drishyam means seen. Seer and the seen. Drik and drishyam. Even though literally it means seer and the seen, we should take it as knower and the known. Seer is the knower, seen is the known. This methodology is actually inbuilt in the Upanishad. It is not anybody else's invention or creation. To understand what I am, to understand what Atma is, this prakriya is used in the Shastram. So this is called a method of distinguishing the knower from the known. The method of distinguishing the knower from the known. Otherwise, it is said to be subject-object analysis. Subject-object analysis. So anything known, first we say, with reference to this entire objective universe, I am the knower. I am the knower, and this entire world is known to me. The world is known by me, world is known to me. I am the knower. Anything known is object of knowledge. Therefore, the whole world is object of my knowledge. I am the knower of the world. And not only anything known is object of knowledge, means and our own physical body, just now we saw, our own physical body is also known. Like how chair is known, anything else is known, this body is also known. That is why in Sanskritam it is said, idantaya drishyamanam sarvam anatma. Anything and everything indicated by any pronoun other than the first person singular pronoun I is anatma, non-self. It means anatma means object of knowledge. And this physical body is also known to us, therefore it's object of knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the known gross physical body. Definitely it is very clear. There's no doubt at this level, the very beginning, the very basic level, it's very clear. The physical body is known to me. When I'm fast, when deep sleep state, the physical body being there also is not known to me. It means what? The physical body is known to me. When I'm awake, in waking state, the physical body being present is known to me. When I'm fast asleep, the physical body being there is not known to me. which means the physical body is an object of my knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the known physical body. This is the first level of negation. Negation means what? You say, I, the knower, am distinct from the known physical body. It's not simply saying I'm not the body. Pujya Swamiji never liked it, even though we say. We understand the distinctness. Then we move on to the subtle body. And we start from each sense power. Each sense power is object of knowledge, is known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from my seeing power. I, the knower, am distinct from my hearing power, the power of smelling, the power of taste, power of touch. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from all five jnana indriyani, subtle powers. For jnana indriyani are also anatma, non-self. Not only gross physical body is anatma, subtle sense powers, each sense power also is anatma. So also all five powers of organs of actions, karma indriyani, are also anatma, non-self. So I, the knower, am distinct from the karma indriyani, subtle powers of organs of actions. All physiological functions are known to me. They are not far away from me. What is the distance between I, the knower, and the known physiological functions? They are not distance, but they are known. They are known. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the known physiological functions. I, the knower, am distinct from the known sense powers. I, the knower, am distinct from the known powers of organs of actions. Now, I, the knower, am distinct from even the known mind. Mind here is nothing but many thoughts constitute the antahkaranam, mind. Many thoughts, cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts, emotions obtaining in the form of thoughts. The thoughts constitute the antahkaranam, the mind. Thoughts come and go. Cognitions come and resolve. Emotions come and go. And this mind again, just now we saw, there's a waking state of mind. There's a deep sleep state of the mind. There's a deep dream state of the mind. As I said already, each state of experience is the each state of the mind. And this change on the part of the state, the mind, is known to me. Therefore, I, the knower, am the witness, distinct from the witnessed changing states of mind. Therefore, even the mind is also anatma, known to me. So I, the knower, am distinct from the known mind, obtaining in the form of three different states of experience. I, the mind, am distinct from all the thoughts which come and resolve, come and go. Your I, the knower, am distinct from the mind also. Therefore, what am I? What am I? who is the knower here? So in my other classes, made it very clear. Even in Taittiriyam, actually, we're supposed to understand Taittiriyam afterwards. But we have already understood, studied that. Again, I'm repeating here. How many of our thoughts are there? All the thoughts together constitute antahkaranam. And the thoughts, again, we're going to see elaborately. For the sake of understanding, thoughts are grouped into four as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Manaha, mind again is said to be manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. We'll see elaborately what are all the thoughts which constitute manaha, what are all the thoughts which constitute buddhihi, and how memory, recollection of past, stored experiences in the home of thoughts is memory. We'll see all again later on. But it's ahankaraha. This ahankaraha is also nothing but a thought which comes and goes. Ahankaraha also is a thought which comes and goes. Why we understand ahankara separately, especially? Because without this ahankaraha, no other thought, no other thought is possible. For any thought to be there, for any cognition to be there, even knowledge of the existence of the world is for that to be there, there must be ahankara. If ahankara is not there, no other thought is possible. Ahankara rises, ahankara obtains in the form of a thought. In what form does ahankara obtain? What is the form of ahankara? It is in the form of a thought. How can you understand what thought is? You understand thought in terms of its arriving and departing. It comes and goes because it's very subtle. Because mind is subtle, very subtle. And you understand, ahankara is nothing but the knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am. I, then am. And without the knowledge of the existence of one's own self, obtaining him of thought in terms of I am, I, first of without this I thought, no other thought is possible. No other knowledge is possible. And this I thought also, we say this knowledge of existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am, this thought. Why do you say it's a thought? Why do you say this knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am obtains in the form of a thought? How do we say that? Because it comes and goes. This is not permanently there. This knowledge I am is not there always. I am always, but knowledge I am is not always. Be very careful, okay? I am always, but this knowledge of existence of self, obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am is not always. It comes and goes. How do we know? When this knowledge is, it is waking state. When there's a time, this knowledge I am is not there. It's called a deep sleep state. In deep sleep state, the knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the realm of thought in terms of I am is not there. You do not know you are in sleep. That is when we call it a deep sleep state. If you do not know your own existence, if you do, you are, but you are not knowing your own existence. You are not knowing your own existence. When you are not knowing you are, it is deep sleep state. When you are knowing you are, it is waking state. Is it clear? Therefore, the knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am comes and goes. When the knowledge rises in the form of a thought, it is waking state. When the knowledge resolves, the thought resolves, it is deep sleep state. This knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is a manifest knowledge. Manifest knowledge. And we say waking state. In waking state, you know you are. And you know the world is. When you know you are, you know the world is. The world being present, the world being experienced is known to you. You know you are. You know the world is. There's knowledge of the existence of your own self, then there's knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is. Then you fall asleep. In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge of the existence of the world. The world is, but there's no knowledge of the existence of the world. The world doesn't go anywhere. The world is. But there's no knowledge of the existence of the world obtaining in the form of a thought. Why? Then the world becomes as good as non-existent. For a person who is fast asleep, the world doesn't exist. Why? The world is as good as non-existent for him because there's no knowledge of the existence of the world obtaining in the form of a thought. The thought is resolved. Why? Because there's not even knowledge of the existence of the very self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. Because knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought rises and resolves. Rises and resolves. When the knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am rises, then there's also knowledge of the existence of the world obtaining in the form of thought in terms of the world is there. Then the world exists. I exist. I'm also here. But in deep sleep state, I am not knowing I am. I am not knowing the world is. Which means there is a time, this ahankara is, there is a time the world is. There's a time ahankara is not, there's a time there's no knowledge of the existence of the world. But how do we know? How do we know? How do you know that I was fast asleep? I did not know I was. I did not know the world was. There was nothing in my mind. There was just blankness. There was just darkness, blankness. I did not know anything. I slept like a log of wood. Kashtavat, you know, I was like the wood. I did not know anything. When do you say? On waking up from sleep, you say, I slept well. I did not know anything. I did not know that I was. I did not know the world was. I did not know anything. Means, you were there even in deep sleep state. As the knower, you the knower are always there. You the knower, you can say, I the knower am always in deep sleep state. I am knowing the deep sleep, the sleep state of the mind. In waking, I am knowing the waking state of the mind. In dream, I am knowing the dream state of the mind. Because on waking up from sleep, either I can narrate my dream experience or I can talk about my deep sleep state experience. Which means I, the knower, experiencer, am always there. There's never a time I am not there. I, the knower, am always. Whether the mind is in dream state, whether the mind is in deep sleep state, whether the mind is in waking state, I am always. I, the knower, am always. For I, the knower, am distinct from the known arriving, departing states of mind, arriving, departing thoughts. Even the knowledge of the existence of my own self in terms of I am, which rises in my thought and resolves, the ahankara comes and goes. The knowledge of the existence of the world comes and goes. The manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought comes and goes. But I, the knower, am always without coming and going. Knowledge of my own existence comes and goes. But I am always. I, the knower, am always. And who am I? What am I? Was always there. And here, the knowledge that I am is a manifest knowledge obtaining in the name of a thought which comes and goes, rises and resolves. Thought rises, thought resolves. And where does this knowledge come from? Where does this knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? Resolve, again it comes. Goes, again it comes. Every day it resolves, you deep sleep state. It rises, waking state. Where does it resolve? Where does it come from? You know, there's a knower, the knower of I, the knower of this knower of this knowledge, knower of the knowledge of the existence of self obtaining in him of a thought in terms of I am. Who is this knower of the knowledge? Knower of the knowledge of the existence of the one's own self obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am. Who is the knower of knowledge? The knower is knowledge. The knower is the truth. Knower is the Atma. Now, the Satchidananda Swarupaha, I want to see very clearly. We'll do it next class. Okay, next topic. Because this much is enough today. We have understood what Atma is not. Understood what Atma is not. We have yet to understand what Atma is. We only know knower is Atma. The known is Anatma. But who is this knower? What is the knower? We'll see next class. And memorize this definition of Atma. Sthula sukshma karana shariraad vyatiriktaha panchakoshatitaha avasthatraya sakshi san sachidananda swarupaha yastishtati sa atma. Memorize this definition. I think the whole Tattvabodha book must be memorized, not mechanically, with understanding of each and every word. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.